All right, so this presentation starts to focus on the global perspective of certification. So we're looking at global quality assurance of health education specialists and considerations in certification. Like Melissa said, I am Kelly Wilson, and I have no relationships to disclose. And I also, on that first slide, forgot to acknowledge my co-presenters, which several of them are sitting here as well, so I want to make sure that I acknowledge them. But like I said, today's presentation is focused on the global perspective, but we're going to start from a historical perspective with something that NCHEC has done, which is the experience documentation opportunity for Master Certified Health Education Specialist. So we will go through the process that was used for that inaugural cohort of MCHES. We are also going to look at a brief comparison of the U.S. certification and a Korean certification that is currently in place, and then really start thinking about this certification from the global perspective and think about how certification can impact the global workforce overall. So we'll start with a little bit of a background, which Melissa also included in her presentation, which this really focuses on the HEJA, the Health Educator Job Analysis, which was completed in 2009. And so this was the process that was the follow-up to the CUP project, the Competencies Update Project. And this is really where we identified the framework where we knew that we had areas of responsibility, we have competencies, and we have subcompetencies. But it was also that validation that we have subcompetencies that happen at both the entry level and the advanced level. And so you could see the numbers that came out from the HEJA with 162 entry-level subcompetencies and 61 advanced-level subcompetencies. And so the HEJA provided the framework for the CHES certification and then also the development of the MCHES certification. And so with this rollout of these new entry and advanced level subcompetencies, we saw a unique opportunity to be able to use an experience documentation opportunity. And so this advanced level certification actually provided a great history, an event in history for health education specialists, because since 1989 we had been operating at the entry level and now we're identifying practice at the advanced level. And so the experience documentation opportunity really gave us the opportunity, and when I'm saying us, I'm referring to NCHEC and the leadership at NCHEC, the opportunity to look at the experience and the practice that was actually happening, not from a survey and not from a survey perspective, but actually being able to document activities that were happening within the areas of responsibility for health educators. And so this was also a time that health education specialists could also understand, apply, and articulate how their work actually applies to the subcompetencies. And so the EDO process was one that took, that was open for 6 months for the certified health education specialist. And this is an overview of the process that was used for the EDO application process. First, an individual had to be CHES certified in order to be able to submit an application. With the application materials, they also submitted a 5-page CV that had to include 5 years of practice in the health education discipline. And then finally, there was documentation that was also provided to support the advanced level activities that they were submitting with the EDO. Along with this process, they also had to not only align and describe how the activities worked with the subcompetencies, but they also had to find two different recommenders who attested to the fact that these activities were in fact being performed at the advanced level of practice for health education specialists. And then if all of this happened, one became a master certified health education specialist. So during this six-month process, there were a little over 4,000 CHEZs who were eligible to go through the process of submitting an application, and out of that, 862 actually applied. So we had about a little over 20% who actually responded to the EDO call for applications. There were 36 applications that were denied. 21 of those were because the individual did not complete their application, and the rest were denied for other reasons. Along with the EDO process, there was an errata process where an individual could be requested to provide additional information. So 148 applications were asked for additional information, and so of this group of 148, 138 were ultimately approved to become MCHES. And in the end, 819 were approved to become MCHES through the experience documentation opportunity. We have since had additional exams where other people have become MCHES through the exam process. When we were developing the EDO review process, there was a lot of thought that went into place between members of the Board of Commissioners for NCHEC and then all of the individuals who were serving on division boards within NCHEC as well. And there was one division board that took a lead role in the protocol that was determined for the EDO process, and that was the Division Board for Professional Preparation and Practice. One of the policies that were put into place is that all documentation and the self-appraisal, the resume, everything that was submitted for the EDO application was reviewed by a CHEZ certified reviewer. Nobody at that time was MCHEZ, so the CHEZ certification was the highest level that could be reviewing it. And if any of the review documentation was questionable, there was a small panel set up so that information could be further analyzed and reviewed for approval or disapproval. And like I mentioned before, there was an errata process where individuals, and the numbers were 148, individuals could be asked for additional information if their application was unclear. And then finally, to make sure that we were listening to the profession and the professionals, we ensured that there was an appeals process. So anybody who was denied could go in and appeal their application and the denial. And we received some feedback from individuals who went through the EDO process. And this was some of the feedback. Completing the EDO application really helped me focus on the profession, my work experience related to the profession, and how I connected to the subcompetencies and areas of responsibility. This was a great opportunity to compile learning over the years. Although the process was challenging at times, it was well worth it, and I prefer it over testing. Many activities cover several responsibilities. The hardest part was selecting which responsibility to focus on for each activity presented, as there were limits on the number of words. So although this was identified as a challenging opportunity, we know that it was not necessarily seamless for all applicants. It was still something that was meaningful overall. And so some of the things that we learned from the NCHEC perspective is that the EDO is an efficient and effective process to assess professional practice in the field, and it can be considered for quality assurance and accountability of the health education and promotion workforce. And so as we start thinking about the connection of what is happening in the U.S. with certification, other countries who are considering certification can also use this as a way to validate the work that is happening if they are unable to go through a validation process for a certification exam, as we have done. And now to compare a U.S.-based certification to a Korean-based certification. You know that we have the Certified Health Education Specialist certification, which has been acknowledged since 1989, and in 2010 we had the first cohort of Master Certified Health Education Specialists who received their certification. When comparing this to Korea, a certification that's already in place, their first certification actually started in 2010, the same year as our advanced level certification. The U.S.-based certification is voluntary, where the Korean certification is government-mandated. And so you can see some differences. When we look at the entry-level CHEZ, we have almost 10,000 entry-level CHEZ since 1989, and then we have about 1,000 advanced-level MCHEZ. But you look at the Korean certification, which has been in place since 2010, and they have slightly over 6,900 individuals who are certified. Our exam has 165 questions. 15 of those questions are pilot tested each year, whereas the Korean-based certification has 110 questions on the exam. And then the continuing education hours are the same. Both CHEZ and MCHEZ and those who have the Korean certification have to receive 75 hours over 5 weeks. So those are some of the differences of two certifications that are currently in place. But as we continue to think about the global perspective, we also have globally the domains of core competency, which came about from the Galloway Conference and have been discussed at the international level heavily. And so we wanted to provide you some information of how the domains of core, or how the U.S. areas of responsibility align with the domains of core competency. And we also have some numbers that are put up on the slide that we recognize that you cannot see these numbers, but if you pull it up on the PowerPoint from the APHA website, you can actually see these numbers. And we also have reference to a manuscript that was published on this where you can clearly see the numbers that are included in here. But basically, a brief summary of these numbers are how the areas of responsibility and then the subcompetencies actually aligned with the application materials for the EDO process. So this gives a good perspective of when we're thinking of what's happening at the U.S. level, what's happening at this worldwide international perspective, we can see how the areas of responsibility and the subcompetencies are being addressed in the activities that were submitted for the EDO process. But going back to the domains of core competency and how they align with the areas of responsibility, you will find that with the first areas of responsibility, the first four areas of responsibility that are really process related, they align nicely with the domains of core competency. So our first area of responsibility is assess needs, assets, and capacity for health education, and domains of core competency acknowledge assessment. And then area two is planning health education and planning for the domains as well. Area three is implementation of health education, and area four is conduct evaluation. And as you can see, the domains of core competency also identify implementation and evaluation as important skills for health educators. And then as we move into the three other areas of responsibility, and I'm sorry, area five is actually left off. That's what I changed in the presentation. I have it on my flash drive. But area five is administer and manage health education programs. the domains of core competency, when you actually look at those domains that align with administering and managing health education, they have leadership in being a catalyst for health education. And then our sixth area of responsibility, serve as a health education resource person. They identify partnerships and working collaboratively with other people. This is somewhat implicit and implied, but we saw alignment in these areas when you actually get into the subcompetencies and what the subcompetencies are saying versus the description of this particular domain of core competency. And then seven aligns nicely. Communicate and advocate for health and health education, and communication and advocacy are the domains of core competency. So like I mentioned, these domains of core competency are something definitely part of the international dialogue related to the health education and health promotion workforce. And so we wanted, as we start wrapping up this portion of the presentation, we wanted to think about the implications of the EDO process for NCHEC, and then also start, we're going to present some ways to think about this from that global perspective. And so we did identify that we need to work with health education specialists, the certified health education specialist and the master certified health education specialist, to make sure that they are able to articulate the work that they're doing and understand how it aligns with the areas of responsibility and really how it impacts those subcompetencies. So really being able to recognize the work that they're doing and how it is actually used in practice. Some other things is that we know that individuals who are in all different kinds of professions and disciplines can have knowledge and theory, but really being able to apply that knowledge and theory is extremely important. And so being able to, once again, articulate that and how it relates to the outcomes in health education is important for the practice perspective. And tying this to the global perspective, we gave an example of a high-income country who actually implemented a certification exam by comparing the U.S. certification to the Korean certification. But as we look at low- and middle-income countries, we know that resources are limited and that these countries may not have the ability to perform a valid and reliable certification exam. They may not have the leadership resources, but they especially do not have the financial resources to be able to do this. So one of the things that one of the discussions that we had with the leadership at NCHEC is that this experience documentation opportunity may be something that they can use that would be feasible with their resources and what they have. And then we also recognize in low- and middle-income countries that there may be workforce shortages. The EDO process could also be used to examine what is happening with those individuals who are currently in the profession and those who are entering into the profession to make sure that they're as competent as possible. And so some lessons learned from the EDO process. In conclusion, is if a country is going to choose to use an EDO process, they need to make sure that they allow enough time to plan for the process. The MCHES process was in the works for 7 years, starting with the HEJA project and then moving forward with the data and actually moving forward through the EDO process. It was important for us to be able to take input from the profession. The profession asked for an EDO kind of process rather than an exam, and this was one way for us to be able to offer it to them. Communication about the process and about the application, about the what was happening along the steps of the way with the Master Certified Health Education Specialist was important from the NCHEC perspective. And then finally, the errata process that we offered was definitely beneficial to those individuals who were going through the application process. Some other considerations. One of the things to think about is what are the critical decision points if an experience documentation is going to be used. So what is going to be put into policy versus what is actually going to be happening is something to consider. One country or whoever would be implementing the experience documentation opportunity would also need to be able to balance the amount of documentation versus the actual amount of time that it's going to take to review the application process. Keep in mind that we had over 800 applications come in, and so we had to really think about what was going to be feasible from that review perspective, and how can we actually get this done in a six-month time process. Having a protocol in place is extremely important, something to consider, and other countries that would implement this EDO process would need to think about any unique needs that they have. It may be geographic needs or resource needs before adopting a process. And so we have information, my contact information, and then Linda Lysobe's. If you want to get any, if you have any questions, feel free to contact us. And I mentioned this peer-reviewed article, which is in the Health Education and Behavior December 2012 publication, Using an Experience Documentation Opportunity to Certified Advanced Level Health Education Specialist. It has all the details on those numbers that you could not see on the PowerPoint presentation.